reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing. Nor do you consider that it is better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish." He did not say this on his own, but since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. So Jesus no longer walked about in public among the Jews, but he left for the region near the desert to a town called Ephraim, and there he remained with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before Passover to purify themselves. They looked for Jesus and said to one another, they were in the temple area, "What do you think? Do you think that he will come to the feast?" The Gospel of the Lord. As we prepare to enter into the week that's supposed to make us holy, I'd like to focus on two things from today's readings. One bad, the other tremendously consoling. First, the bad part. The incredible corruption of the whole priestly caste of the Jews. The chief priests and the Pharisees. The chief priests were the ones offering the sacrifice. They were members of the Sadducees party, and they had become to get dominated by political interest rather than the interest of God. And the Pharisees, the rigorists, who just wanted to make sure that they could keep to the letter the entire Mosaic law as they interpreted it. These people came together and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him. The Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." In other words, they didn't get together, the chief priests and those who were the most zealous for the Old Testament law, and say, "Does this man really come from God? What can we learn from him? Is he possibly following in the line of the prophets? How can we increase the faith of our people? Passover's here. How can we do a better job? How can we help people to pray better? Any issues that we need to say in our little rabbinical schools to help people enter more deeply into the feast?" No, none of that. They were concerned most about the Romans coming, taking away both their land and their nation. That's why they tried to pigeonhole Jesus into a political Messiah rather than someone who would save us from far more important catastrophes like sin and death and hell. So that's all that they were thinking about. And then Caiaphas, the high priest, violated probably the central ethical distinction that you don't even need Christian revelation to be aware of, but it's just that the end never justifies the means, that you can never do evil so that good will come of it. Better for one man to die than the whole nation will perish. Let's just kill Jesus, even though he probably doesn't deserve to die. Let's just get him to try to keep the nation together. We need to beware of that whole line. There's an aphorism in Christian history, corruptio optimi pessima est, that the corruption of the best is the worst of all. And our arch enemy, the devil, always goes to try to corrupt the best. He'll use any means that he can. And as we approach into Holy Week, he's going to go to try to get us to be thinking about other things other than what the Lord wants us to think about, just like he was able to do with those who, at least on the outside, should have been closest to him, those zealous about the law and the faith, and those who are his chosen ones offering sacrifices every day at the temple. If it happened to them, it can happen to us. We need to be vigilant. That's the first part. Now the consoling part. God brings good out of every evil. Caiaphas's statement, using Jesus as a means, actually had a prophetic value to it. But it wasn't just going to keep the people of Israel together. It was meant to bring into one all the dispersed children of God. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, which was our first reading today, God promised, I will gather them from all sides and bring them back. I will make them one nation. Never again shall they be divided into two different kingdoms. And he starts to talk how we'll purify them from all their idols, all the little gods that they make in life. That what the Lord was doing on the cross was trying to draw all people to himself, into one people, one body, from all the nations. That the ultimate goal is a real unity. One family, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That's what the purpose of this week is. Very often we can go through Holy Week just focused on our own personal piety. I need to grow in faith, and that's clearly the case. I need to respond to the Lord. But there's a deeper reality that we need to be likewise focused upon. That the Lord wants to unite us, take away the divisions. The Lord wants, as he forgives us from the cross, so that we forgive others. He wants us to come back. He wants others to be invited back. He's going up to the feast. And our response is, what are we going to do? Are we going to go up to the feast with the crowds? Or are we going to continue to try to do our own thing? The Lord Jesus, through his cross, gives the power to be able to bring us as one. But the terrible diabolos, the devil, the one who literally throws us off course, diverts us, seeks to separate and divide. He wants to prevent that reality of coming together. The Lord wants us to be one nation, one family. That's what this week is all about. Together, let us ask the Lord Jesus, who unites us in the Eucharist this week, to be symbols and agents of unity, drawing all others to him as he is lifted up for ours and their salvation.